So, I need to grab something. It is coffee. It was a very wild week this last week with Holy Week. I'm trying not to be like a walking Starbucks promotion or something like that, but it's been very busy around the Stark household with Holy Week stuff leading up until this until Easter. And I traveled this past weekend for a funeral and just actually came back into town. I was in Minnesota on Friday, and I returned Saturday. So it was like almost a five-hour drive to be at my folks' house for like 12 hours and then turn around. So running on fumes. And sometimes when we run on fumes, it helps us clear our heads a bit and cut to the chase. Our story today is about doubt and doors, and that's really what I want to share with you. Doubt and doors. Doubt and doors. So I want to begin by telling us a little bit about hype and doors with a story. Last weekend on Easter, I shared a bit about our dog, Cooper. Cooper's a really important part of my ministry, a really important part of my life and our family. 11-year-old dog, and he had a vet visit not that long ago. But our kitty cat, Penny, also had a vet visit. She's a beautiful cat. She's called a Bengal cat. And last year around this time, I remember taking her to the vet, and the veterinarian said, "Oh, that's a big cat." And it wasn't like a big healthy cat. It was like, that cat is like pretty overweight. That's a big cat. We found out that Penny was 4 pounds overweight, and for a cat, that's like a huge amount of weight. Huge amount of weight. So, as the cat's owner, I felt kind of embarrassed, and also I was worried about her health. I want to make sure she's healthy. So, a year later, just a couple days ago, we took her back. She was down to almost 10 pounds. She had lost 4 pounds. And there were some concerns, however. See, when a person goes on a diet, they typically, you know, you're hungry for a while, right? You're hungry till your stomach, the physical organ, kind of shrinks, and then you're less hungry. It's kind of like you get used to it, and you really value those meals that you have. Well, this little gal has like not gotten any less hungry since a year ago when she went on the diet. And it is awful. She wakes my wife and I up at like 3 in the morning whenever she hears a movement. If somebody gets up to use the restroom or if the baby cries, she's like, "Oh, it's time to eat breakfast." Man, with an infant at home and kind of a, you know, temperamental kid, it's been a challenge over this last year. So we had the cat have some blood work done. We thought maybe she had thyroid problems, diabetes, something like that. The veterinarian basically said, "You know what? The good news is Penny is healthy as a horse. She doesn't have any issues to worry about. The bad news is she's just a very hungry cat, and she's probably going to be annoying." So, yeah. I got to tell you, there's nothing like running on fumes and being woken up by a cat at 3, 4 in the morning, pawing at the door, yowling, meowing for food. I used to get so annoyed by this, I would put her out in the garage. You'd hear the meow then, but it would just be really echoey, you know, coming from the garage. And she also started knocking things down. I came out, there was a can of WD-40 that had exploded, you know, so we decided we're not going to put her out in the garage anymore. So then we decided we were going to put her down in the basement. We have a cat door that locks, and you could still hear her yowling from down there, and that's where she's fed, down in the basement. So you were hearing her from behind 2 sets of doors. When you let her out from behind these doors, this kitty cat can't help but getting into places she's not supposed to be when she's hungry. It is like she can't help but get into trouble. And when she's behind the doors, as I said, when she's hungry, she can't help but try to bust out of them. She's actually knocked the cat door out of the door, trying to get back into the living room to wake everybody up. She hates doors, this cat. In a way, this cat reminds me of Jesus in our story. Jesus hates doors. Jesus isn't voraciously hungry and wants to get in by his friends so they feed him or something like that. But Jesus hates doors. And a lot of our story today that we hear about, Thomas, and maybe even in Acts, has to deal with doors. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. What it means to be a person of faith in this world that we live in, where there are lots of doors. And maybe we can each bring a kernel of this story that Jesus shares in the gospel with us today. Let's talk about that. Opening verse of our story today talks about doors. Doors, they keep you safe at night. They keep the cat out and away from you. I can't imagine leaving a door unlocked these days, right? You ever do that? Go to bed with the door unlocked? I wake up in the morning sometimes and it's unlocked and I think, wow, that was a little scary realization. When I visited my folks this past week, they live out in the middle of nowhere. Went to this funeral, and I said, hey, Mom and Dad, you want to lock the doors? No, don't worry about it. Really? No one is around them at all. And the neighbor that lives up the road one way is a farmer. The neighbor that lives up the road the other way is a police officer. They're not worried about doors. Well, I check the doors. Every time I go to bed, I've watched too much true crime TV. And the first words our story says has to deal with doors and danger. It says, when it was evening of the first day of the week and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now think about it. Jesus had been arrested. He had gone through a trial, a very expedited one. He was found guilty and executed with the blessing of the religious authorities in Jerusalem. They knew where the disciples would be, these Jewish authorities. They knew they were in the upper room where Jesus had met them and shared their last meal together. This was the place where they gathered. And they gathered there in fear. Fear. Behind locked doors. Fear that the authorities would come for them. Fear they would meet the same fate that Jesus had. Fear that everything they held dear would blow up in their faces. Jesus was dead. The Lord was gone. There's a lot being locked out here on the other side of the door. And in the midst of this, in this dangerous situation, the situation that we hear the disciples have locked themselves away from, Jesus is risen. He appears to them and speaks, not a word, a rallying cry of, let's get out there and fight. Let's take it to the streets. No. He speaks a word of peace into the storm of fear and danger on the outside of that door. He shows them his hands and his side where he had been nailed to the cross and stabbed by the spear. And his disciples were in awe. Their friend, their rabbi, their Lord had returned to them. And he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. I think at its core, this says something about who Jesus was. He's willing to show up despite of what was on the other side of the door, despite of what had happened to him. He's willing to speak a word of peace to his grieving friends in a war zone. He was willing to show up for the sake of his friends and those that believed in him because they loved him. And he was also willing to show up for those that weren't quite sure that they got the hype. We hear that Thomas, in our story, one of the 12 disciples, wasn't with the others when Jesus showed up the first time. And he didn't really believe Jesus was back. And can you blame the guy? I mean, They had gone through an awful lot. The other disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," but Thomas, he doesn't get the hype. He doesn't get hype about this thing. Have you ever had somebody ruin something for you because they've hyped it up so much? Like a movie, TV series, something like that? I remember when Sonia and I went to see the very last of the Hunger Games movies. Everybody had hyped it up so much. We were hearing about it all over the radio, on TV. How many millions and millions of ticket sales the movie had had. We went through the meticulous process of getting a babysitter so we could go and watch this movie. So it really had to count. And then it just didn't quite do it for us. The hype kind of wrecked it. Well, Thomas doesn't get the hype about this. He says, "Unless I see the scars on his hands and his side and I get to touch them, I'm not going to believe the hype." And I think we are tempted to jump all over Thomas and say he's a bad guy because he doesn't take what the disciples say at face value. I think the kind of world we live in today is a world where we don't usually take stuff at face value. Trust in reality is called into question all the time. Jesus was not there with Thomas. And Thomas was expected to just believe. Well, just as locked doors keep us safe from things that are dangerous, I think they keep us safe in here too. In our hearts, you know? I think they keep us from hoping for the wrong things. Because too much hope can be a dangerous thing. And so I think Thomas had kind of a locked door on his heart. He didn't want to buy into the hype. He didn't want to let his walls down and get disappointed again. He was protecting himself. He wasn't ready to accept what others had readily accepted unless he sees and feels the wounds of Jesus. In our world today, the very fabric of reality, and I don't mean that in some, you know, like I'm not a, you know, physicist or something like that. The fabric of what's real and what's not real, we hear about it all the time. And we hear about fake news on TV. We hear about all these scandals. We hear about all sorts of stuff like that. So we can understand what Thomas is going through. Doesn't want to fall for it. That Jesus would actually come back to the very city where the authorities killed him in the first place is unbelievable. But the thing is, Jesus actually did show up. It's not just that Thomas can't believe Jesus is back. But I think it is that Thomas is perplexed that Jesus would come back for people like him and his friends. In a world that is violent, in a world where they would betray him, in a world where they would reject him. I hope we can understand Thomas. He wasn't a bad guy. In fact, I think Thomas is really all of us at different times in our lives. All right, so fast forward in our story. We hear a week later that the disciples were shut in the house again, and Jesus can't help himself. He is like that naughty cat that cannot keep away from the food. He appears before them again. He hates the door. He comes through on the other side of it and says, "Peace be with you." And it is there that he invites Thomas to touch his side, to believe. Thomas responds by saying, "My Lord and my God," to which Jesus says, "Blessed are those that don't need to do this." But you're blessed too, Thomas. The hope of the gospel, I think, is that Jesus encourages Thomas to touch his wounds and have faith and say like Mary did last week in our readings, "I have seen the Lord." When Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen but believed," I don't think he's slamming Thomas. He's not taking a swipe at him. as an unbeliever. I think he invites disciples that believe in him right away, but he also welcomes those that need more convincing and those that are in the process of being convinced. Another way of saying that, Jesus welcomes the whole spectrum of faith. Whether you believe, whether you're somewhere in the middle, or whether you're not quite sure. And I think that is another door in our story. The door of Thomas's heart. Thomas was kind of like that naughty cat too. Scratching at his curiosity, his skepticism, his need for being convinced. Not giving up till he gets the sweet reward on the other side of the door. You know, I think there is one more thing about doors that our scripture says that's important. And it's not just about having a heart like an open door and believing or something like that, but it's what we do with our belief as Christians. Again, the disciples were gathered in that upper room with a locked door. They were locked behind a door. And what's outside that door? And it's always hard when we hear in our readings from John, you know, the Jews did this, the Jews did that. We have to understand in the context of this text, this is not the folks we know and love in our communities, our Jewish brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our friends, the people that we've grown up with, gone to school with. In the scripture, Jesus is talking about, and the author is talking about, a certain people that rejected his folks, his friends, because of their belief system. They were diametrically opposed to those that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So what was on the other side of that door? These Jewish folks that were oppressing them, that were opposing them, that did not like them, that were a danger to them. And I think the fact that Jesus showed up in such a dangerous place and in dangerous times to these people might mean that God is with us even when we don't expect God to be with us and where we expect God to be with us. Or that God would show up in a place like that. And I think for each of us, the translation is that Jesus' eagerness to go into that dark place might mean that we as Christians are called to show up in less desirable places to do our ministry. Maybe we are called to have courage like Jesus did and show up in a dangerous place in dangerous times. Like a kitty cat wanting to get upstairs when he's not supposed to be. Jesus can't stand being away from his family and his friends and his followers so much that he shows up on the other side of the door despite of the danger to himself and to them. I wonder what this might mean for us as a church and for you in your lives. We recall the scripture where Jesus says, "For I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, naked, and you clothed me, in prison, and you visited me." The hope for us is that Jesus doesn't like doors. He doesn't want to hide behind doors. He doesn't want us to hide behind doors. He doesn't mind doors in our hearts. And even if we lock them, there's still opportunities for those doors to be busted down and answer when he knocks. He's one that shows up on the side of the door with us when we try to shut him out. He's one that shows up on the side of the door that's facing oppression, speaking a word of peace to those that know him and those that don't believe alike. And he's the one who invites us to open the doors of our hearts, to speak a world of peace into a world that needs peace right now, where many of us are afraid to open the doors. My prayer for us is that as we face out into the world that God loves so deeply, that we can unlock doors. Unlock the doors of our hearts. Unlock the doors of disbelief. And unlock the doors that keep us away from those that we could call neighbor. Amen? Amen.